Councilman Foley.
Thank you. I have two questions. I'm first going to dovetail with my colleague. On the unfunded mandates, does anyone have historical knowledge data? You mentioned that federal just imposed a new curriculum that you had to buy for $1 million. I would venture to say 5 years ago, there was some mandatory program that was given to us by either the federal government or the state government that we had to fund that is either no longer in existence or did not provide the benefits that we were told they would provide. Is that a safe assumption that there was a program, let's just go 5 years ago, that was we were told to institute and that we are looking at it now and realize that that did not do what it was supposed to do?
In general, yes.
So we just spent $1 million. You're asking us to approve spending $1 million, and I have a follow-up question on what you mentioned. And 5 years from now, we're going to be left holding the bag to continue paying for it, even though we have proof, we have data, science and data, that show us those programs do not work. But we're here, we have to keep it going, but trash can it, and we just threw $1 million away.
Sure. Councilman Foley, our challenge is we have to be in compliance with the commissioner's office. We have to operate under the guidelines that they've established for us, so we have to move forward with these new initiatives that they require us to follow.
So, again, that's why I dovetailed with exactly, we're here, and people, and I know it eats up a lot of the city budget, the schools, but so much, a good amount of it, I'm trying to use correct words, a good amount of it is out of our control in the sense that it's mandated to us. We need to find the money, but we don't get to hold people accountable, the end user of that service. That's it. The new curriculum to the curriculum director, am I giving you the right title? What was this new program? Because I heard it, but you didn't explain. Can you just, a thumbnail explanation of it?
Absolutely. So at the elementary level, we're really excited. We had over 50 teachers pilot, about 10% of our teaching force got on board. It's called Wit and Wisdom by Great Minds. It is a forward-thinking program where the students have a lot of discourse, and it's we're hoping that the students really take on the vision of the graduate that we have as our main focus for our district and really start communicating with one another and figuring out things, creatively thinking about things. And so all the components of the vision of the graduate were in this program. The teachers loved it, and they voted unanimously for it. So we wanted to support it. We tested, we went through every single one of the green curricula that the state said that we could try. We tested every single one, and this one was the one that was the best for our students.
Okay. And it's my hearing. Mm-hmm. Green curriculum, like
yes.
The color.
I'll explain what that means. It doesn't mean eco, right? I know it's confusing. It's from EdReports, which is a peer-reviewed. You can go on the website edreports.org, and it's a group of different types of stakeholders, administrators, teachers, community members. They've gone through all of the different curriculum options, and they provide a rating system. And so RIDE has mandated that we only look at programs that are rated green for all different categories. It means they're the best of the best.
So green has, like you said, has nothing to do with ecology. Of
no, it's not eco-friendly, okay, unfortunately.
No, well, again.
It's aligned, right? It's aligned.
Yes, it's aligned to the standards and everything. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Now, my second question, believe it or not, has nothing to do with that. It goes to line item on the budget. Can you tell me where to look for for lack of a better term, breakage. In other words, right now you're funding for roughly 850 teachers. Let's just say every single one of them was on top step. Some of those teachers are going to retire this year, and you're going to hire someone with less experience and therefore would be on a lower pay scale. Is there a line item that shows where you're planning for that breakage?
It's not. I didn't separate it. It's in the 51110, the regular salaries. It was passed at school committee as a reduction, so I took it off of the, it's in that $94 million. We have, I think it was $500,000 of breakage, $550,000 that's figured into that.
All right. So historically, let's just look at, and I hate to do last year because that's a little bit of an outlier, and I don't know if you have it with you. I don't want to put you on the spot. But 2019, pre-COVID, what was your, how many teachers retired that year? Do you know off?
I don't have the number off the top of my head. I think, Kim, I think you put it together. But it was, we looked at kind of a trend, and I discussed with Mr. Testa, and that's why we landed at the 550, was we saw a range from 300 to around 600 for the breakages over the last few years. So that was where we landed at the 550. I don't know, Mr. Testa, if you have any comments on.
So.
Councilman Foley, I'm sorry. We're also finding that when a teacher retires and we go to hire a new teacher, they're not all at first step anymore. You know, so they might be hiring them at sixth step or seventh step. So we're not seeing the breakage amount that we have in the past.
And again, most of you know my history teaching for 40 years, 30 years at the last 30 at Davies Career Tech. And prior to my retirement, they instituted the teacher evaluation system. And one of my contentions in front of RIDE at the State House was that by instituting, prior to that, former Governor Raimondo, the repair, and I use that word very sparingly, for the pension system with the AB system and the like, my contention was that they had to require every city and town in the state of Rhode Island to retain some of their higher paid people for somewhere from 5 to 10 years longer than they would have had to prior to the reform. And all that did was shift it from the state pension system to the backs of the cities and towns. Goes right along with what you're saying about the state mandate. I know personally I had to teach 4 more years and I never recovered what I lost through her reforms. So are you seeing that too, that teachers are staying on the job longer?
Yes, we're definitely seeing that in terms of the retirement numbers year to year. They're not as high as they were in the past.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Thank you very much for your time and thank you for your answers.
Thank you, Councilman Foley. Councilman Sinapi.
So I'll probably reserve most comments till later, but to dovetail the dovetail from Councilman Foley and from Councilman Howe, it's interesting that RIDE recently proposed changing the standards for graduation yet again, which, as everyone can imagine, will only further increase those unfunded mandates. So for those who take issue or umbrage and whatnot with school department budget, I highly recommend write to your state legislators and governor and RIDE, please. It would actually be very helpful because the unfunded mandates are a very large problem. It's one thing to pull up mandates that help everybody. That's all well and good. But when you kind of force cities and towns into the ground while doing so, it doesn't exactly help anybody. I think that I'll reserve further comment.
Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you. And thank you all for coming. I had the benefit of participating or at least watching online your budget hearings. They were very informative and I appreciate the opportunity. To borrow a committee member, Testa, you talked about nibbling around the edges. So I'm not an education expert like some of my colleagues, but there are a few things that jumped out at me. And I'll start with healthcare. So who's the current healthcare provider for the schools?
We're currently using WB Health as the self-insured.
Okay. And I think that there's a past ordinance, or at least a resolution passed that tried to synchronize the provider for the schools, also for the city. And I think you were all here earlier when we went through the general fund budget, and you've seen that we've had a very positive experience from that transition from last year to this year, where healthcare costs on the city side are down near $1 million, and for the school department, they're up $500,000. So just, I don't know when your contracts expire or that type of thing, but it may be something to look into, because that is a significant shift.
Yeah, that was definitely an area when I heard that you guys had made the switch to the trust. It was something that I was going to look into.
We have much older employees than the city does. That's the problem. Or at least a big piece of it.
Okay. Thank you for that. Do you have a firm like Marsh or a benefits consultant similar to the city?
No, I don't believe we do at this time. Unless, okay. Kim, do we have a benefits? No. Yep, just Sarah at WB Health.
Okay, got it. Well, like I said, it was one of the first things that this council looked at, and so far it appears that it was a good financial decision. So, moving along, I mean, we talk about pathways programs and the cost associated often. I hadn't noticed this adjustment in terms of incoming pathways and CTC students of another $550,000, but added to what we lose with students going out, that's a painful one. So I know that's an area that you're all focused on. I don't know if you had a comment there.
Yeah, no. I just want to make you aware that as I was building this budget, I noticed the revenue for that CTC program seemed high, and we weren't achieving that. That was why I adjusted it down. It appears that, and I think Mr. Kent McCaffrey can comment on this too, previously we were able to set the rates going further back, and I think now they're state mandated how much the tuition rates are, and that's what's kind of causing that. So I felt the need to adjust it to where we're actually seeing. So that's...
Got it. Thank you.
The other piece with that is that we have a career and tech center. It is a fully operational, you know, building, and they have programs where our kids get licenses and certifications and things like that. They know how to set up a business, all kinds of stuff. But a lot of other schools are poaching our kids for their sports teams and things. Now, our business program is far better than NK's. I'm just going to say it. But a lot of our kids go to NK. A lot of our kids go to Ponagansett because they get a lot of times poached. And there's nothing we can do about it. And we tried to get the legislature to change it, but RIDE won't change it. RIDE said, no program is similar. So we can't keep our own kids, which originally we had legislation in where we're going to, after a certain amount of time, we could keep our own kids. So we wouldn't have so much attrition, because a pathway and a CTC education are two very different things. And our kids who go to pathways aren't getting what they would get at the CTC. So it costs us a lot of money because they're walking out the door to other school systems that maybe are prettier or newer or have better sports team or a million other reasons.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, I had the opportunity with Chairwoman Cobden to tour the CTC program, and is very impressive. Thank you. I think I just have one other. So you go through this breakdown here. Let me get to it. Superintendent recommended budget of 1795, and then additional school committee cuts 932. And has anything changed in this budget since it was approved by the school committee?
No, there's been no changes.
Okay, so if I recall, the the bulk of that 932 is a reduction in the contribution into the pension?
Correct. And breakage was in there as well. Yep.
Okay. And so can you talk about just what's the state of that pension fund in terms of how funded it is and its health?
So as of, so the only reports I have from the actuary are as of June 30th. And at that time, it was 101% funded due to the increase in the market. 26% return will do that for a pension. At this time, with the drops in the market, I'm sure it's not at those levels, but we don't have those reports yet to look at.
Okay, but it sounds like we're in the ballpark of healthy.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. That's all I have for now. But
I just wanted to say, in conjunction with all of that, we have this inflation, which started recently, and hopefully it goes away as quickly as it came. But that certainly is a problem going forward if it continues to increase for both for everyone in the city. The entire city, for the entire state, when we're creating budgets and you have inflation out of control. So we're concerned.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. I'm all set.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, President. I'm going to continue down the road a little bit on Councilman Gebhardt's questions with regard to health care. What is the school department's cost for a family plan and an individual per person or per family?
I don't have the 23 costs in front of me. She just sent it over the other day. I believe it's somewhere in the $20,000 range. I can get you the exact figure. I don't have it off the top of my head, though.
You don't have the health care costs with you?
Not for the individual plans. Oh, for the individual, not the family plan? Yeah, it's closer to 9. I'm sorry. Yeah, the family plan's closer to the 20, yeah. Yeah.
To the 20?
Yeah, for a family plan, yep.
What is it?
23.
And the individual?
Around 9.
What is your unfunded liability in healthcare for the school department?
I don't believe we have an unfunded liability at this time, because we have a fund balance at WB Health that we're using.
You have zero unfunded healthcare liability in the school department? So every single bill is paid, you owe nothing. You have no unfunded liability in healthcare?
Correct, if I'm understanding the question. Because it's self-funded, there's a balance at WB Health. And
self-funded doesn't mean that, you know, everything's all paid. But what you're saying is you have zero unfunded liability.
I believe so, if I'm understanding the question properly.
To go to Councilman Gebhardt's point, he mentioned that this year the school department's health care, I believe it was $500,000 higher than the city side. Is that what was said?
That's what our projected increase is $500,000, yes.
I can remember numerous years sitting on this council when we would say we should be doing what the school department's doing, because your healthcare costs were better than what we had. So this time, not necessarily the case, but I can tell you that I seem to recall numerous occasions when your performance with healthcare was very good.
Yeah, we did see in the past year, we saw a reduction in claims. So when we did the projection for the following year working with WB Health, that was kind of where the increase, she was seeing a 6.5% increase in healthcare costs on her end. And then with the deficit, you know, coming forward of the delayed healthcare, that's kind of where that increase is coming from. She had recommended closer to a $3 million increase, and we're using the fund balance that is currently at WB Health to buy down that rate to get to the $500,000. So that's where those are coming from.
And what is your healthcare budget for the current year?
For the current year is $19 million, I believe I have. I just want to double check for you. Yep, 19,583.
Yes. Now, that's for this current fiscal year.
That's for FY22.
So, in your new fiscal year, you're going to be going to about 21?
20 million.
20 million?
Yes.
Another big difference between the school department and the city side is your teachers do not get lifetime health care when they retire.
No, they don't.
And that is a significant amount of monies.
Certainly is, Councilman. And one of the problems with teachers having to teach longer, new people coming in till 67 for full retirement, at least, we have older and older teachers. And as you know, a lot of times older people get sicker. And they cost.
Say what about
older people? Sometimes they're more apt to get sicker. You know, people who are over 60.
I'm only joking. I'm one of those
59
old people
like
now.
Me.
say what?
but our health care would be a lot better if our teachers were leaving in their 50s than almost 70.
But my point is, when they leave employment, they do not leave with lifetime health care.
Correct.
So we can sit here for days and days and days and discuss all of these budget numbers and all the ups and downs and the reasons why and why nots, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is, until we as a city get control on the out-of-control healthcare costs, pension costs, co-pays, and stop loss, we're going to be fighting the same fight every year. Now, I don't know when, you know, reality is going to set into place and folks are going to finally say, this has got to stop. So if we want to talk about some real savings, let's talk about the real savings. Let's talk about where these huge expenses are and how to get to a better place. We've passed a resolution here recently on the city council making that request to get to a better place. That's where the savings are going to be. You talk about a budget of 80-some percent in the school department. I think at one point in time, it was actually a bit higher than that. If I'm remembering, I think it was somewhere around 82-83%, maybe 86%. That doesn't leave a whole lot of money for pencils and papers. And I don't mean to minimize it when I say pencils and papers. Another problem that I see, and this is from a society perspective. When I was in school, they were still using the cannon string, but seriously, when I was in school, teachers were able to teach a full hour of class, maybe 50 minutes, 48 minutes. Society has changed that. You can't expect teachers to be everything. They're educators. The concern also is in the student population. Now, we can go back to the 1970s when it was probably close to three times higher than what it is today. But in recent years, not that many recent years, we've had a continual
decline. 2 minutes, Councilman.
We've had a continual decline in student population. I think it's declined again in 2021 by 300 or 400 students. The question is why? We have, I'm sorry? Go ahead, who was going to, go ahead, please.
Well, Councilman Lattice, as school committee member Backs, Ms. Backus said, we are losing students to other districts who have newer school buildings, beautiful athletic fields. You know, we talk to parents and they say that our athletic fields are in such poor condition. My child wants to play football. They're not playing football on one of your fields. We're going to go to North Kingston or somewhere else that has nicer athletic facilities. That is one reason why.
That's home games, right? So they have home games, but they still play away games, right? So they're playing on other fields. They're still, eventually, they're coming to the city of Warwick, and they're playing on Warwick's fields, too, every school in the state. So it's not every game they play in home fields. And I understand what you're saying, but it's not that that's the only reason.
Councilman, so, if I'd also like to kind of piggyback on what the superintendent said. There's a couple of things. Demographics is one. Pathway programs, which has been mentioned earlier, that's a significant drain on our student population. And we can discuss pathways until we're blue in the face. It's essentially school choice, but it's not funded appropriately. But we lose a significant amount of students just to North Kingstown and Pontagansett. Forget the charter schools. Warwick doesn't lose a lot of students to charters. We lose more of our kids to the pathway programs. So that's a state level fix, but it's a local fight. And as to what Ms. Backus said, some of our programs are, I think, are much better. They're deeper. They're more comprehensive. But when the Department of Ed says no programs are similar, so therefore the student goes and the money goes with the student, that's an uphill fight. And when the per pupil cost in your district is higher than the receiving district, there's a profit made in every student, right? So the districts we lose to tend to have lower ride per pupil costs. So on one level, it's a business transaction for those, because those districts would lose population, homegrown population, just like Warwick will, because it's just a demographic thing. But it's just another one of the difficulties and obstacles that we have to try to retain these kids. And some of the solutions to that I think are more pathway programs to draw more kids in, because that's the environment we're in now. We're all competing against each other.
And isn't our cost per student one of the highest in the state to educate?
Yes, it is.
If not the highest?
It's not the highest.
There's how many? Two? So there's two out of five, out of how many schools, right? You have other purchased services for $25,455,000. What does that consist of? What is that?
Yeah, that was one of the ones I outlined in the presentation. So the two largest pieces of that, $12 million is transportation, and another $12 million is the out-of-district tuitions. So $24 million of that $25 is those two line items, transportation and out-of-district.
Are you rethinking this transportation thing, by the way? Because I'm seeing these buses drive around. Doesn't seem to be a whole lot of kids in them. And by the way, some of them should be reported, because some of these bus drivers are crazy. I'm seeing them go through stop signs. I'm seeing them go through red lights. Not too impressed with some of them. So is this something that you're revisiting?
So I know for the FY23 budget, and if Ms. Machado wants to talk on it or I can, we did change the walking distance. So we reduced the ask from first student from 63 to 57 buses.
This is going to be the last one. We're going to pause after this. And can we just get one or two people from the school department to speak? I don't want to keep going all the way down. Everyone gets to say, the councilman got to ask us questions, but we got to get an answer. So
Councilman Lattice, when you say rethink the whole transportation, can you clarify?
Yeah, are you rethinking either getting some new people to drive these buses, different buses, change size, change routes, et cetera? Maybe I'm the only one that sees these buses driving around with hardly anybody in them besides a driver and a monitor. So, yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Sure. So we did decrease our fleet this year with the AS2 budget cut. We are with First Student until 2024, so we will have to stay with that vendor. As far as buses driving around empty, that all depends on where they're coming from and where they're going. So I'd have to know like specifics on that to give you that information. But every year we do evaluate, we look at the trends for our routes, where our pain points are and what we need to fix. Obviously, the increase in walking distance helps support the budget cuts that we had to make as well. Depot stops is something that we're introducing more of, one location where a large group of students can walk to. So we're always changing. We're always trying to be more innovative.
I'll yield the floor, Mr. President.
What's that?
I'll yield the floor.
Thank you. Any other questions from council members who haven't had a chance to speak yet? Councilman Ricks.
Taking a look at the last page of, not of the school presentation, but of the general budget address. So this is Roman numeral 7. That last paragraph reads, there is one caveat attached to this budget proposal. This administration believes strongly that additional state aid should offset city contributions of either city or ARPA funding to the Warwick Public Schools budget. The administration of the Warwick Public Schools has agreed to this caveat. We may know this before the city budget is enacted, and I will propose a change in city contributions at that time if additional state school aid materializes. If that is not known in late May, when the city must act on a final budget, I will insist that additional state aid offset city contributions or be reserved for the future year. So I was just reading that paragraph, not my words. A couple of questions on that. So I'll start off the conversation by saying that there is a 2005 Rhode Island Supreme Court decision that it appears may be on this topic. And it's my understanding from that 2005 Rhode Island Supreme Court decision that if the city council authorizes the expenditure, then the city council, even if the state were to contribute that exact same amount to the Warwick Public Schools budget, the city council could not take back that allocation. So it would in fact just be the state contributing additionally. I'm not sure if that's the same understanding that the school department has on this, or if the school department has a different understanding.
So we do have a different understanding. I believe the other case you're talking about was that the city withheld our funds from our budget, but with the new American Rescue contribution, if the state does increase its aid towards the district, then we will offset it by not spending the money from the city, the 2.1 from the city.
So then if the state does follow through with that contribution, the city would be allowed to take those funds back that the state has effectively replaced?
Yes, so if they do increase our funding, that would take place, that would happen.
Now, this is where things get a little bit tricky, because fiscal years aren't calendar years. And of course, we have elections in November. And so does the school department have a legal opinion to that effect? And would there be anything reduced to writing that would bind the school department to this interpretation, so that halfway through the year, we don't necessarily find ourselves in a situation where there's a change of heart.
Yeah. So we did reach out to our lawyer before we reached this agreement with the mayor and his staff.
Did the attorney provide a written opinion?
No, he did not. It was just a conversation.
Was the agreement with the administration, was that put in writing, or is it just more of an oral agreement?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
The agreement between the school department and the city administration, is that in writing, or is it more of just a conversation or oral agreement?
At this time, it was a verbal agreement. But I believe in the budget, for the city budget, the mayor did write a little synopsis and mentioned it there.
I do see that, and I read that pertinent paragraph in the budget address. I think that it would make me feel a little better about the situation, since we are talking about millions of dollars on an interpretation of the law, where, with all due respect to the school administration, the city administration, and the school committee, all due respect to all involved, I see this as a situation where different people can rationally look at the same case law or read into that case law different potential scenarios and then come to different conclusions. Mm-hmm. And because the fiscal year does not overlap, or rather does not strictly coincide with the calendar year, and it is an election year, then there is always a possibility that someone 6 months from, a bit over 6 months from now, may have a different opinion. And the last thing that I want to see is for it to appear to everybody now that there's an understanding, everybody is on the same page, and then that situation to change in 6 months, and we now have a fight over millions of dollars on our hands that involves going to court, spending money on the city side, and spending money on the school department side, essentially taxpayer money fighting taxpayer money over millions of dollars in taxpayer money.
Can I raise a point of information, please? That'll save the speaker some time.
Please go ahead.
Hold on.
The speaker.
Excuse me. One person at a time.
It's a point of information, and the speaker is allowed to accept it, and you just did.
I have to acknowledge you. Just relax. All right, Councilman, would you like to hear from Councilman Sinapi?
Yes.
Go ahead, Councilman Sinapi. And you have 3 minutes left.
As far as the case law, nothing stops the school department from giving back money by voluntarily, as what's been suggested. And for those who recall a few years ago when we did the additional funds for sports and everything else, the way we handled it is that it was memorialized by the school committee thereafter, thus effectuating it, putting in writing just like you want, which would be my suggestion that way, because Councilman Ricks is absolutely right. It would be better if it's in writing because things change. Who knows what happens in the election? The new people who come in might not like this arrangement, but at least if it's in writing and everything's agreed upon and passed formally, then we'd be in a much better place. And presumably the school committee and school department would be on board with that. Obviously they can address that here, but sorry, Councilman Ricks, I want to save you time so you could ask other questions.
Not at all. I appreciate it. And I think that you made my point for me. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other council people haven't had a chance to speak yet? Okay, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I just actually want to dovetail upon the dovetail of the dovetail and follow up. extension of dovetails, chapter 7. So general question for the superintendents to kind of get, again, understand the budget process and the costs that we bear due to federal state mandates. when a student is enrolled in the city or a student, a Warwick resident student, gets accepted to another school, whether it be charter or parochial or Ponegansett, whatever it may be, another public school of another district, and that student goes there, the money follows the student to that district. When does that district, the host district, get to keep all the money but not the student? What's the fiscal calendar year?
I believe we pay tuition by the year.
But if a student is sent, let's say a student goes to Davies, and then Davies says, not meeting our standard of what we want. The charter school says, not meeting our standard. The Ponegansett says, not meeting our standard, and they kick the kid back to Warwick. Okay. They keep the money.
It's quarterly, so they keep a portion of the money.
They keep a portion of the money. There's not a point, this is where my understanding is that after a certain date, whether it be November or March, they keep 100% of the money.
I am not aware of that, right?
Okay.
On our invoices that we receive, we pay quarterly.
It would be quarterly. So come March, a district can keep the money for March to June, but send the kid back to the home district and keep that money for the year, correct?
If a student completes the third quarter, we don't pay for the fourth quarter if they come back to us.
If the student completes the third quarter and they kick the kid back, you get the fourth quarter money follows the student back?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I see that it says over here, Anadis District tuitions, $12 million, and I think it's where other purchased services included, $25 million, transportation was $12 million, out-of-district tuition was $12.1 million, yeah. And that's a pretty chunk of change. So the follow-up to that would be also when a student needs, let's say, special education services or IEP services, do these out-of-school districts, are they required to give the student the services, or is that required to be paid for by the host or the city that the student is transported to, whether it be charter, parochial, or out-of-district?
So we do pay for those services.
So even though the student is being transferred and we're paying the tuition, we still must pay the special need? Okay.
Yes.
And that, again, is a mandate that is not that we must follow.
Correct.
So then my follow-up to that would be, and this will be my last question for saving time, and I thank my colleagues for indulging me. What happens when the district doesn't meet this? So going on what the superintendent McCaffrey said, when the district doesn't meet a standard or a mandate that is put forward, what is the punishment or what is the backlash from the Rhode Island Department of Education or even the federal? Is it purely monetary?
At first, they'd work with us, and then eventually it could be monetary. They could hold back some funding.
Additional, they could hold back funding that they don't even, that of a possible violation of a mandate that they don't even fund.
Correct.
So they can hold back funding of something they're not funding, correct, which means they're going to deduct funding from something else. And that's an additional burden that we see on top of not having the services and not getting and having to follow the mandates for attendance, participation, as well as for credit recovery. And credit recovery is the program we talked about where a student will not work, but then has to build those credits. And we must bear the cost of the student to get the credits and need to graduate. So that's where basically a good chunk of students, I would venture to say 20 to 30% of students, were double paying for their education by pure state mandate. Thank you, Mr. President. That's all I had to follow up.
Thank you. Councilman Lattis.
Thank you, Mr. President. With the money following the student, so we have a cost of $22,300 per student. If one of our students go to one of the other schools other than the five that are comparable to us, does the $22,000 change go to a school where their cost might only be $17,000?
We don't pay the full 22. It's a discount. It's a tuition rate that the state sets. But yes, in theory, if their cost is lower than the tuition, then they are profiting on that student. Yes.
So we're getting ripped off.
Yes.
And that's been going on for years.
Right.
But yet it continues. Well, that's because, yeah, well, you said it. I don't have to. That's a ripoff. So I want to follow up on my question about the unfunded liability. What is the school department's OPEB unfunded liability?
I'd have to pull the report. I don't have that off the top of my head. I have the full OPEB report. I just don't know off the top of my head what that liability stands at currently.
So when could you get that report?
I have it sitting on my computer. I can send it to you anytime.
I think that's an important number. Surprised you don't have it. So you'll get that to us when?
I can send it tonight, tomorrow morning.
Okay. You have all of our email addresses?
I can, yeah. We have it. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this still $56 million or so of a bond that has not been drawn down on yet?
Correct. Yep.
And if you decide to draw down on that bond this year and you get council approval, is the cost of that bond in this budget or the cost of the drawdown figured into this budget?
No, I'm not sure if Mr. Schaefer has that figured in. I'm not.
Mr. Schaefer has that figured in? Mr. Schaefer here? So, Mr. Schaefer, I'll repeat the question. This still $56 million of bond that's sitting there that the school department hasn't drawn down yet, if they were to request a drawdown from the council of, say, $25 million and the council approved it, is the cost of funding that bond or paying that bond factored into?
No.
It's not. So what does that mean? Does that mean they can't draw down on it?
First of all, let's say you did it this past year. We did it in February. We issued $26 million in February. There was no cost in this year. That amount is budgeted in the 23 budget. Likewise, if we went ahead and did it at the same time next year, it would be a 24 cost, not a fiscal year 23 cost.
Okay, so even if they draw down $26 million on July 5th, that won't get factored into the 23 budget or get factored into the 24?
They've got well over $20 million right now from the bond issue we did in February. Now, Steve, I don't know where Steve is. I don't know how fast he's drawing it down, but the contemplation was that about the same time next year, if they're cash flow on those projects went on the same way, was that we would do another amount next.
But Mr. Schaefer, that's not the question I'm asking. The question I'm asking is, if the school department comes to the city council requesting and is approved for $26 million because of whatever has occurred, that they need to make X repairs or replacements on these buildings, if that is approved by the city council on July 5th, does that $26 million get paid in this fiscal year or 2024 fiscal year? That's my question.
I would say 2024.
You would say? I mean, does it or doesn't it?
Because Rybeck has a policy of payments in May. We don't issue the bonds on our own. It's through Rhode Island Health and Education
Building Corporation. Yeah, I understand that.
So, and I wouldn't even think of going to market until we have new financial statements available. We advance. When you pass a resolution, you give the treasurer and the finance director authority to advance money from the general fund pending the issuance of bonds. There's also the opportunity to do bond anticipation notes. So I would, if I was finance director, and I'm still finance director next year, we would be talking about not doing anything in terms of securitization of the debt until next spring, late winter.
So then we don't need to worry about a drawdown on this $56 million bond with that debt service being factored into this budget. That's what you're saying. We don't have to worry about that.
We don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Point noted. So to whoever on the city, on the school committee, and we've gone down this road numerous times as well, what is your plan if the city council does not approve your increase? What's your plan?
If that was the case, we'd have to go back to the drawing board, looking at cuts in different areas, cutting into programs, personnel, different options on the table. We'd have to kind of go to that level.
The option that comes to mind, and it's right there in the front of my mind, is what happened the last time. You cut the sports, and you had this chamber filled with kids. So that brings back my question, if the city council doesn't approve it, I mean, are we going to be doing this same little thing?
We are not planning on cutting sports this year.
Because we had 2 months in this chamber of zero business because the kids were so upset.
We don't want to hurt students. You know, we discussed it and decided it's not even an option. So.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad that's on the record as well. Thank you. I'm all set, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on the school budget?
Philip Durkle, Sr., Ward 4. My brother, my younger brother, spoke earlier. I'm a retired Warwick taxpayer, and after looking at this budget, I'm going to have to go find a job, I believe. I have some questions and one comment. Where does Warwick stand in the education quality in this state versus this country? Where does Warwick stand? What percentage? What number?
So right now, I believe, and Lisa can help me with that, but we're about 20% proficient. After COVID, this is pre-COVID, our scores did slide. In reading, we're a little higher than that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Looking at the websites I looked at, it was anywhere from 27 to 42nd. So. Yeah.
So I can tell you across the country, most states or all states did better in reading and they had a bigger slide in math. But can you give a specific for Warwick?
I think that's a really great question. And at the next school committee meeting, I'll be doing a really large presentation on the state of how we are compared to everyone in the state and in the United States. But right now we're right at the state level. Everybody did slide because of COVID. We also mirrored that. We did have a bigger decrease in mathematics than the rest of the state, but our preliminary data, I'm sorry, did I misunderstand your question?
What's the percentage?
The exact percentage.
The education quality for Warwick or the state of Rhode Island as opposed to the rest of the country. Are we at 20%? I'm sorry, do we rank 20th, 40th, 50th?
It depends on what data set you're looking at, sir. And all I don't, right. I'm not trying to be.
No problem. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to look up numbers right now, but I need about 3 minutes. Okay.
All right. Thank you. How many teachers per student in Warwick?
It's 1 to 12. Teacher, 1 to 12. 1 to 12, so 1 student to 12 teachers.
That's not what I asked.
Oh, I'm sorry. The other way around.
How many students per teacher in Warwick?
Oh, 12. Sorry.
12. Yeah. That's what it was the last time I asked. I understood earlier. How much to educate? Is it a student in Warwick? Is it 22,000? Did I hear that number right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, again, I don't have children in the Warwick school system, but I'm still paying taxes, and most of those taxes go, my property taxes go to the school department. I don't think there's anything more important than educating our children. But again, the quality of education of our children, that should be topmost on our list. Not how much it's going to cost, not the number of schools we're going to build, not the number of teachers per student, the quality of that education that each student is going to receive. That's the future. That's our future of this country, of this city, of this state.
Excuse me, that's why we brought all new curriculum and resources to better educate our students. And we feel that this will improve our scores and our student proficiency rate.
Thank you. The other thing is, Bill mentioned here about mandates, a big issue on mandates. I can't do anything about a mandate alone, but if the city council puts together a committee of two or three council members that brought this issue up, we'd be willing to support it. Me and my 300 members would be willing to support that initiative. So again, we can't do it alone, nor can I do it alone. So rather than continue to talk about mandates, let's do something about it. Thank you for your time.
I have the answer, please, sir.
Oh, okay, good. Let me write it down. Okay, shoot.
All right, not to take up too much time, but I do have some figures. So the state comparison with Warwick, we are right at the state level. Pre-COVID pandemic, we were at 48th percentile. Proficient in grade 3 compared to 50% state level. 38% compared to 38%, 40 compared to 40, 40 compared to 40, 30 compared to 23, and 38 compared to 27. So as we get into the upper grades, we did fall a little bit. Our preliminary data shows that our students have risen by over 30% already.
Rhode Island is, as opposed to the rest of the states in this country. You just gave me what the school system is related to Rhode Island.
Yes, because you asked that.
I want Warwick, the city of Warwick, compared to the rest of the country. I don't care if compared to Warwick, the rest of the country.
All right, sir. I'm going to have to do some data analysis to get that for you. I wasn't prepared for this question this evening.
Understood. And I couldn't get the data either, okay? Mm-hmm. It was all based on Rhode Island, relating to Rhode Island. I don't think the education system in Rhode Island is that much better. As well. So I think we have a lot of work. You people have a lot of work to do. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. Zach LaFontaine, Ward 2, also a proud alum of the class of 2019 from Pilgrim High School. It's great to be here. And my question is really on the really, where was the thinking that went into the planning? This might be a question for the director. On the holistic approach to school safety and security. This is one thing that I know my class was very passionate about during my time at Pilgrim High School. And given the fact that we have approximately over 560 exterior doors located at the district's 20 schools, we want to make sure they're functioning properly and also ensuring that they're locking properly as well on the back end. And I know that during my time of exiting Pilgrim, they were working on ways to seek ways to replace the interior door systems with more ADA compliancy and making sure we were all up to par. And then my last part to that, before I ask the question, is if I do recollect properly, which is extremely commendable that work was able to do, is we were the only municipality in the entire state to participate in the mutual link system. So I'm assuming we still have access to that. I don't know if we're still paying for that. So I don't know if that's a two-part question that you can answer for me.
Yeah, so there's a couple of pieces in there. So the safety and security piece, we underwent, and Dr. Taylor can discuss this more if you would like to. We underwent a $1.5 million security upgrade with cameras throughout the districts, remote access. That also included door swipes, door security. Along those lines, the interior doors that you mentioned, that's under Mr. Gothberg in the bond projects. He's been going through each school, changing out doors for ADA compliance. And then I believe the last piece you mentioned was MutualLink. MutualLink has been discontinued, and Verkada is coming out with a phone-based system to replace that. So we've dissolved that system, and we have a new system rolling out to replace that one. So I think did I cover everything?
Yeah, I think so. So just a follow-up. Do you folks still use Rave Guardian? Is that still a program that the...
Go Guardian?
I don't know if the name's changed since I've been there. Okay.
I believe it's...
Yes, we still use Go Guardian.
So is that a subscription that we have to pay for annually, or what type of contract does that look? Okay.
Yes, it is.
And then is there any data or anything on the website that would show if Gothberg has gone in and done analyses on the doors, the locks, making sure that the teachers and staff have adequately got the keys and are locking it? Is that anywhere on the website as well?
The completed projects are on the website. I don't know about any analysis that you're looking at in terms of like what has been done and what hasn't. We show completed projects and what's scheduled. I don't know if that is what you're looking for.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that's on everyone's radar, that school safety should be a number one priority. It should always be, not just reacting when something happens with a school shooting or anything to that effect. I think it's just something that we all need to make sure keeping on the forefront of our minds. Okay. So.